into Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, is the Lord's Prayer, which we have been looking at. Beginning with verse 9 of Matthew 6. And this is the New American Standard. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we started looking at the petition, Thy Kingdom Come, the last time, which was the time before the Lord's Supper. And we looked at two things about it. First of all, that it follows from true worship. The hallowed be your name immediately proceeds. So we walk into the Lord's Prayer with the recognition that against all logic, so to speak, God is our Father. We come in with praise, who art in heaven. So we don't just kind of waltz in. We walk in with the recognition of real communion, because God's our Father, and with praise that God is transcendent, that He's above all things, that He's created all things, and following that, and kind of the inner sanctum or the most holy place is the place of worship. The Your Kingdom Come follows from that. God is God. We are those who are worshipers. Would it not be our earnest desire expressed to Him that which He is would be expressed in all of His creation? So this whole notion of God's kingdom coming and the recognition that it is not yet here in that sense follows from true worship. And then secondly, this petition is commanded. You know, even when there's difficulty for us in seeing God's glory, and that is so often eclipsed for us. We, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 6, O Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. We have been given a new heart. What does that mean? That means we have been given faith. We've been given a renovation of our natures. Does that mean we are now perfect? By no means. And there is an eclipse still so frequently in our sight of that which ought to be. So even when there is difficulty in seeing God's glory, we are commanded. It comes even when we're not there, so to speak, in our insides. We're commanded to pray for the coming of the kingdom. There is the coming of the kingdom incrementally now. There is the coming of the kingdom suddenly with the coming of the Lord Jesus. And both of those certainly are in view and are part of this command. So that's what we looked at last time. would like to note the, now as we move forward, there have been varying ideas of the coming of the kingdom. There are some today, certainly still even in Christendom, who see a more or less political kingdom with righteous laws righteously enforced. Certainly the Jews saw a Jewish kingdom as they extrapolated Old Covenant commands and their view of promises. Clearly, they understood to some extent that God's sway was broader than Israel. A key statement is Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? So that's not just Israel. This is the entirety of the world. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. So God is clear. He will, in fact, and as we see evil transcendent, and the New Testament is clear to depict that this world today is under the thumb, if you will, of Satan. It's difficult sometimes for us to see God in control. That's necessary for us in terms of the kingdom. Your kingdom come. But the coming of Messiah is that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11 is a prophecy of Messiah and a new heaven and the new earth. Here we have verse 8. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. There is a change in the animal kingdom at the least there. Could that happen today? This is an entire change. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, verse 7. Look at the second half of verse 9. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that, this is Messiah's day. There shall, look at verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's the Lord Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's the branch out of David. And his kingdom coming is worldwide. And how deep did they have to go to find the Titanic recently? Was that, 4,000 feet? I forget. Long, long way. As deep as that, knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. And that's a prophecy. That will be. And the believer says, this is what I want. So there is an entirety then of worldwide righteousness that the believer will see Revelation 21:27 says, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you see, the wickedness has been purged. That corresponds with Isaiah 11. So this is the kingdom of God. But the Lord Jesus, of course, has an awful lot to say about the kingdom. He says the kingdom is not physical. You can't say, well, it's up to here and outside of that. It's not that this kingdom. He says it's not observable, he says. In Matthew 13, he says that the kingdom is like leaven, he says, which gives the idea that instead of being the Jews who were always in their own little groups and centered in Jerusalem, it's clear that he was envisioning dispersed people worldwide. It's like leaven, he says, which a woman hid in 3 measures of flour, and it got through the whole set of flour. And he says in verse 21, he says as well, he says, the kingdom of heaven is among you. The best translation. It's here. You can't see it. It's another translation. It's within you. He doesn't literally mean in your hearts. He means it is dispersed. He's talking about the kingdom. So that's this age and coming, but it has a definite end coming. The Lord Jesus has no problem speaking about a definite coming in the future. When the high priest said, now I adjure you by God that you tell us whether you're the Son of God, he says, yes, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So that there is a visible coming of the kingdom as well that corresponds to the beginning of the kingdom that we see in Isaiah 11. So it's not observable in this time period, and yet there will be a definite change. Secondly, corresponding to that, this time period, the kingdom is the church. The kingdom is the church. Here's the apostle on this. It says, the kingdom of God, this is Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what is it? Are you in the kingdom of God? Well, are you a believer? It's essentially what he's saying. You can't tell it by outward things. You tell it by the change that has occurred inwardly. Then you're in the kingdom. And I didn't put this in my notes, but it's clear that what God does is he takes us from the kingdom of Satan and he translates us into the kingdom of his Son, that's in Colossians. So when you and I are having difficulty seeing God's glory around us, we are commanded to pray for the coming of the kingdom in both ways. individually, God brings men and women from outside to in the kingdom, and the final statement. We see the Apostle Paul saying, "Oh Lord, come." That's the final bringing in of the kingdom. But this is not a, if I feel like this. The Lord Jesus said, pray this way. As much as we praise Him and we worship Him, His agenda is that His kingdom come. And He calls on us then to be a part of that in prayer. It's easy in some sense for us to float on the sea of our lives. And there is this edge of judgment and bliss. I mean, that's basically all we've been discussing all day here. There is an edge, and it heightens our awareness of the difference between the current state of affairs and the glory that awaits. There is a glory that awaits. The believer has been made alive into an inheritance, made alive into hope of final glory. It's not just, I'm out of the kingdom of Satan. There is God's agenda, which is the coming of the kingdom, and the believer is called into that agenda. So this prayer then is an everyday prayer. There are people that we are concerned about. There is the church that we are concerned about. What we need to be reminded of is, in that sense, is God's agenda. There is my subjective outlook toward all of this. There is God's eternal purpose. And prayer always is a plugging into God's eternal purpose. I was reminded of the years that I spent on this large aircraft program, you know, multi-billion dollar program. And, you know, you go and you put your shoulder to the wheel and, well, does the wheel move? Well, you couldn't tell because it's too big. Do you put your shoulder and push as hard as you can for a long time? Yes, you do that. Because you care, because you believe, whatever. Well, now, is that not what the believer does? I mean, what changes do we see? But we are called here. Your kingdom come. This is God's program, after all, right? It's God's purpose. Much larger. You know, I've got my shoulder to the wheel. He's calling us, not just in action, but in prayer, to put our shoulder to the wheel. This is in pray in this way. And it is, again, we are not God, but we are called to engage. It's okay to recognize that we are faulty and fallible. Remember, the Lord Jesus was amazed and distressed as He came into the weight of sin
days before Gethsemane.
Oh, he was distressed.
He was.
So we are allowed to kind of be where we are, but we see God's large program, and he calls on us to put our shoulders to the wheel in a meaningful, heartfelt, ongoing manner, if you will. Pray this way, your kingdom come. And that becomes in some sense, all of life peace. How do I represent that in my life? How do I further that with my life? And certainly prayer in a continuing fashion is what he's calling for here. Your kingdom come. Certainly individuals I know of, but bigger than that. Let's close this portion in prayer. Father, thank you for that which you have called us to. For that which you have said you're doing, you call us to involvement with in prayer. We do ask you, with our faltering prayers and prayer life, that you would enable us, that we might be engaged in prayer, not only toward those ones that we see heading headlong into hell, and not merely with the general aspect of the church, but with your purpose and that which you would do in our day. We do ask that you would enable us to put our shoulder meaningfully to this wheel. We do pray that you would help us in Christ. Amen.